It's a logarithmic scale, by the way. All right, fantastic.
Recording in progress.
Excellent, excellent. So, brothers, little change to the schedule here. Brother Tristan Ponder was going to present tonight, but unfortunately, there are some storms going through his area which have knocked out his internet, so he is unable to join us tonight. We will all hope that he stays safe through those storms, and hopefully we'll get an update before the end of the night. So we will be moving to our last presentation from the series of presentations for this year. So brothers, allow me to introduce Brother Stephen Courtright. Stephen Courtright, initiated into the Beta Iota chapter in 2001, has long been focused on the idea of the fraternity as a broader organization than simply the close brothers of a home chapter. As a collegiate member, he worked to increase interaction and communication between Sinfonians and Province 2, resulting in frequent road trips in the pre-Facebook era. I remember those trips down to Hillsdale. Later, as a Province Alumni Coordinator and Governor in Province 35, bringing together brothers over vast distances, took on even more meaning and necessity. Now recovering from a 15-year career as a teacher, Brother Courtright lives in Juneau, Alaska, with his two kids and a small menagerie. He is a full-time representative and organizer for a statewide union affiliate that represents public employees and has been learning to apply labor-developed tools to answer the same questions he was asking 20 years ago in Michigan. Those questions are, how do we nurture in people a desire to connect with each other in common cause? Where do we find people who aren't on board yet? And how do we grow the next generation of leaders who can take things to a higher level? The title of his talk is Leadership Mapping. Brothers, please help me welcome Brother Stephen Courtright.
Thank you. Well, to begin with, I am a recovering educator, so I intentionally did not put together a slideshow. I do have a few things to put up on the screen that we can collaboratively look at together, but I do not want to be lecturing you for however long we do this. I want this to be a conversation. So in a little bit here, I'm going to ask people to just turn their mics on and join in. But for right now, just a little bit of quick intro on why I think some of the stuff matter. By the way, talking about weather, I was planning on doing this from my office where I would have had multiple screens and I'd be using two computers and all that. Instead, I'm operating off of one screen. So I apologize if there's any quirkinesses, but I don't apologize that much. So the union world and the fraternity world don't necessarily seem linked at first thought until you start examining how they function. They're both groups that are built on their members, and there's a belief that they bring value to their members. Our last talk was dealing with that, and I was really happy to hear that we opened that door a little bit. But there is some value in joining and being part of the organization and watching how the organization grows and how it helps people to grow. Both organizations do also constantly need to be selling and recruiting new people. We are constantly in the mode of looking for who's going to join and what value we can bring to their lives and what value they can bring to the organization. And I think both the labor union and the fraternity operate from the mindset that the default position is that everybody should join. Eventually, maybe you find some people who are more harmful than they are helpful, but our default position is there's a place for everybody. And then part of that is that we need to be looking for places where we're not tapping people. So that's really what I want to focus on more in this talk is how we nurture connection and how we identify where we're failing to meet people. And some of the mindsets that I've developed in the work that I do professionally, hopefully will help with developing our fraternity. And these are tools that are digital tools and mindsets that work whether we're physically meeting or digitally connecting. So hopefully we can make some good things happen tonight. With that said, I would love it if as many of you as possible could turn your mics on, and let's just go around really quickly. What I want to know, and this is being a teacher here for a moment, but I'd love to know, where do you come from? I love seeing that we've got some younger members in this group right now, but physically, where are you in the world? Where's your home chapter? Where are you located? And then what is your role? Are you a CPR? Are you just a member at large? Are you part of an alumni association? Who are you and what do you do? So I guess I'll start with that example. My home chapter is Beta Iota in the middle of Michigan. I've spent time in the Southwest, so I have connections to both of those parts of the world. But now I'm in Juneau, Alaska, and there are almost no Sinfonians around. So my interaction with Sinfonians happens online. And I'm really grateful that these days we have the tools to do this interaction. And with that, I'll put it out to the group.
I guess I'll go. I was originally from Tennessee Tech with Zi Chi chapter. Zi Chi is no longer. I've lived in Atlanta for, good God, let me do math, 26 years nearly. I am a charter member and secretary treasurer to the Atlanta Area Alumni Association and the old man for Nu Theta chapter. I've been the alumni, and I'm currently the alumni secretary, resource officer, whatever you want to call it, for Nu Theta and the alumni mentor for them.
Great.
I have been.
To steal from what Keith put in the chat, if you could now name somebody that you'd like to hear from next, that would be grand.
Jonathan.
Is Jonathan able to pick?
Yep. Hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm from the Beta Delta chapter at Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And I currently serve as both the music director and the president for that chapter there.
And can you name somebody you want to hear from next?
Let's go with Frankie.
Brilliant.
Hey, hi, I'm Frankie. I'm from the ZIMU chapter at the University of Delaware, but I am from Westchester, Pennsylvania. I'm currently the chapter's alumni relations officer. I am also one of the ACPRs for Province 27. Well, and let's hear from Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith Oppen. I live in Delaware. My home chapters are, or my undergrad chapter is 3 hours west at Shenandoah University, where I was initiated. And my graduate school chapter is 11 and a half hours away in northwestern North Carolina. I was the ritual director at ZIMU when I was there for a semester, and also at Western Carolina for a semester. And I think Colin, we'll go with Colin next.
Hi, I'm Colin Alexson. I'm the current Collegiate Province Representative for Province 39. My undergraduate chapter was Lambda Gamma at Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania. And I had served in a multitude of roles, fraternal education officer and president, chapter president. And I'm not too sure who else needs to go.
Oh, it's Dave Friday. Does anybody not know who Dave Friday is and what he does? I go for it, Dave. You can talk.
Oh, you know I love to talk about myself, though. Well, brothers, I'm Dave Friday. I was initiated into the Beta Iota chapter in 2002. That's Albion College. I was chapter brothers with Brother Courtright. He was a big deal. When I joined, he was vice president of the chapter shortly after my initiation. and we also, dominated the top floor of Britain Apartments during our senior year, which was a fantastic time, to say the least. So I've had a pretty unique experience. I've been collegiate at three different chapters within Province 2. I was initiated into Beta Iota at Albion College. For my graduate work, I was at the Gamma Epsilon chapter at Michigan State University, Go Green. And I helped start or helped transform the Michigan Alpha Colony into the Rosai chapter at Grand Valley State University, where I was collegiate for a year there to try to help them get their sea legs, as it were. As far as Province 2 is concerned, I've served in the role of Assistant Province Alumni Coordinator, CPR first, then Assistant Province Alumni Coordinator, Province Alumni Coordinator, Deputy Province Governor, as well as Province Governor, until the Licton snap happened on June 27th of 2019. I have spent my entire life within Province 2 and served in many, many roles. Anytime I travel to a chapter in Province 2, I don't bother looking up the directions. I just know where I'm going. Nowadays, I live in the greater Detroit area. Closest chapter to me is probably about a 20-minute drive away at Oakland University, the Sigma Nu chapter, which was just installed in 2015 and recently celebrated their six-year anniversary.
Nice.
Thanks, Dave. And for the last year or so, I've been trying to host this monthly event called Friday with Friday that developed from this event 1 year ago. And now I'm going to pass things over to John Heath, who just joined the meeting. Welcome, John.
So, John, obviously you don't know what we were just doing, but we went around really quickly letting everybody know just kind of geographically where are you in the world and what your role is or has been in the fraternity.
All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Sorry, I just got on. All right, so I was initiated spring of 1989, Zeta Psi chapter at East Carolina University. My province governor at the time was Robert Haas, who was later elected as national president in New Orleans at the first New Orleans National Convention in 1991. I served in chapter office roles there at Zeta Psi and later at Rotaw at Appalachian State. In fact, I was there, Dean Shatley and I started Appalachian the same semester. He was an undergrad and I was in grad school. I served as CPR for 2 years in North Carolina, Province 20. Served as one of the first two province alumni coordinators beginning in 1999, serving in that role until 2005. I was on the national level, I served on the Sinfonia Foundation Board from 2012 until May or June of this past year. Really appreciated that opportunity. And I regret that we were not able to do as much as I think we would have all liked, but that's, you know, neither here nor there at this point. Also served on the, I guess it was an Arts Advocacy Committee 2006 to 2009. And then that kind of springboarded into serving as the chair for the Music Advocacy Committee for 6 years. And we helped put together a document on music outreach opportunities, both on the campus, community, K-12, different avenues. We put together a guide that was published. And then there was a second edition that was approved, but never published, unfortunately. But I think that about sums it up. I ran for NCR 1 year, vice president 1 year. So I think about sums it up.
Great. So from my summing up of what we have in here, and thank you for that, we've got some younger members and some older or more seasoned Sinfonians around here. Looks like we lost someone too. Coming back in. All right. So yeah, we've got some people who have experience as CPRs. We have people who are starting their journey as CPRs. We've got folks who have invested in chapter leadership at various different levels. So this is great. I love hearing this diversity of experience, but especially from people who understand the value of the province. That'll help guide some of the way that I lead this today. I'm also noticing that I think I'm the only person west of the Mississippi, which is not surprising when you look at the map of our fraternity. We are very much an Eastern time zone fraternity, and that is something, if you were in our social justice conversation last, that's definitely something that we could probably think about more as an organization and what that, the implications of that might be. And a lot of our national policies and national expectations mean a lot different things if you are, for instance, in the Carolinas versus California or Texas or the Dakotas. So moving on. One of the things that we need to talk about in this conversation is organizing. And just to save us a little bit of time, instead of leaving it an open-ended question, I'm just going to posit that when we organize, it's because we want to strengthen and grow our organization and because we have goals that we're trying to meet. Is everybody okay with understanding that as our basic goal of organizing? Okay. Now, when I say organizing, I'm not talking about a hierarchical setup where I know that I report to Dave and Dave reports to Aaron and Aaron reports to Jonathan. That's not what I'm talking about for organizing. What I'm talking about for organizing is getting out there and connecting with people and building networks that are able to get things done. And so it's a different mindset. It's not so much about where do I report? It's more about what can I do and what do I need somebody else's help to accomplish? So again, we're trying to strengthen and grow the organization. We're trying to reach our goals, but we're not doing it through a top-down mandate. We're doing it through looking for the places that we need to grow, looking for the places that we can grow, and how we can get there. So there are some fun tech tools that we can use to help us think along these ways. And these are things that I've been playing with on and off as I do union organizing. So let me just quickly go ahead and start sharing my screen. One of the tools that I have been playing with is called Google Jamboard, jamboard.google.com. Like any Google thing, you go and you hit the plus sign, you get a new Jamboard eventually. And I'm going to add an image to this because I need you to understand where I come from in the world. This is how Alaska relates to the rest of the country. This is a one-to-one size comparison. I am down here in Southeast Alaska in Juneau, and I work with union members who are all around the state. Our main hubs are Juneau, Anchorage, and we've got a smaller population in Fairbanks, but we also have members up in Ukiakvik and in Bethel and down in Kodiak, and everywhere in the state we have members. It makes it a little bit fun. So Jamboard, and I'm going to go ahead and copy this URL really quickly and throw it in the chat, is really fun because it's a play along. So everybody could right now go in here if you wanted. You could come into here, grab a sticky note, put it on here. You can write, draw, post your own pictures in here. But the advantage of having this as a collaborative tool is when I'm looking at this and I'm saying, hey, I'm in Juneau and I need to find some people in Anchorage, I could post this Jamboard and say, hey, who can help me find some folks? And Dave will say, well, I'm in Detroit, so that doesn't do us any good because it's not even on the map. But maybe Aaron is somewhere closer to where we need to be. But the point being, I'm not trying to tell you how to use this. I'm just saying this is a tool. Yeah, thanks, Dave, for putting a mark there. It's a tool that is really useful for very quick collaboration. We can have many, many slides. We can throw more frames into this and add and add and add if we want. And then at the end of the day, when we're all done with it, we can download it as a PDF and share it to everybody who's used it. Yeah, Google Docs does the same thing. Yeah, there are other tools that do similar things. I just find this to be a particularly nice one because it is so quickly visual and we can throw the sticky notes and say, And I can then put that right over here, where I sure wish it would stop snowing, because we've got enough that my dog now walks over the fence. So a tool, not the only tool. It's one that most people that I've met don't know about. So I just wanted to share it to you. From an organizing standpoint, if you have a map that you can put in front of folks like this, we can quickly start understanding where the world sits. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's look at a map. This is, and we're still sharing, right? Okay. This is a map of all current, well, let's change our overlay on here. Okay, good. All current chapters of Sinfonia. And you can see we've got active, suspended, probationary, reorg, and colony status all selected. This map was put together by Brother Cade Herrig, who is an incredible resource. If you are not already in the Phi Mu Alpha R&D group on Facebook, I highly recommend going in there. Cade does some incredible data deep dives. And with Cade's permission, I am both sharing this and also telling you, please go look at the stuff that Cade has. I love the power of this map because there's so much in it. If you want to create a map like this for yourself, it is the easiest thing in the world to go to mymaps.google.com. And it doesn't take much tech skill to figure out how to start using it. It takes tech skill to make it look as good as this one does. But to start creating just a very simple thrown together map, not that hard. We will dig in on this a little more, but before we do, I want to shout out the old-fashioned spreadsheet. We get so excited, and again, recovering educator here, every in-service you're shown a new shiny tool to play with, and that semester every student gets so fed up because every teacher has shown them the new shiny tool. Those of you who are younger probably remember the first time that all of your teachers learned about quiz apps. And next thing you know, every single teacher is making you do dumb quizzes on your phone. They're shiny, but that doesn't mean they do any good work. Spreadsheets go such a long way. And you can accomplish tons through them. So for instance, when we're talking about things you can accomplish with spreadsheets, Cade in the R&D group has done spreadsheets to look at the best places to recruit colonies. In fact, if you look at, if I unselect chapters and I select instead charter goals, these are all the places that Cade thought would be good places to charter a school based on doing deep dives into data, ranking places based on how large the student population was, how large the music school was, what kinds of music degrees were offered. And you can see we've got schools in very remote places where if you look at our chapters, it might not hurt to colonize a little bit. These folks probably wouldn't mind having some friends. It's also interesting to note that a couple of our provinces don't have a single good prospect in them. Especially down here in the Southwest, we've already got every good school. Now, of course, this is based on one brother's read of the data, but it was all done with just old-fashioned spreadsheets, plugging in the information and then cross-referencing things. When you're playing in a spreadsheet, I encourage you to look at things like who we don't have. So, to go to the chapter level, I heard a variety of different sizes of schools, and I just threw my cheat sheet away, so I should go get that in a moment. While I'm getting that, most of you, it sounded like, are from pretty large schools. If you could sound off, about what percentage of your chapter was made up of music majors?
When I was in school, it was 80 to 90%. Currently at New Theta at Kennesaw State, it's 65% or so.
Okay. Anybody else?
Currently in Beta Delta, it is split 50-50 evenly.
I love hearing that. Good. To shout way back to those pre-Facebook days when Dave and I were at Albion, I'm pretty sure in our graduating class, there were three men who were music majors. I was one of them. Kyle Kays was one of them. Dave, were you a music major as well?
Math.
I thought you might have gone for the 8 unit. But yeah, the point is, a lot of our chapters cannot build only from the music school. And a lot of those that do build only from the music school, I would argue, are doing themselves a disservice by ignoring the fact that there are so many other musicianly men out there who might be in the marching band, but not in any concert ensemble, or who might join the campus choir, but aren't ever in the music school otherwise. Or maybe they're not even in a school ensemble, but they're part of the local pop group. They might be in an a cappella ensemble, or a couple of them have joined together to have a rock band on campus. And I would argue that those men are just as deserving of Sinfonian membership, and possibly more so because they've gone to such a length to find music as a lot of the folks who you find loitering in a practice room. So, oh, geez. Give me just a moment. I need to stop my Roomba.
Of all the things that you would anticipate being part of presentation, stopping my Roomba just made the bingo card for next year.
Okay. Dave and Aaron, you'll appreciate its name is Catbane. It has the impeccable timing. So where I was going with this, in this map, one of my favorite things about a map is you can visualize things that you wouldn't normally intuit. So, and again, I'm doing a lot of talking here and I'd rather not be. So please feel free to chime in. I'm going to scroll inward here. If we're considering that our goal is to organize, to build strength, to reach out, you know, within our school, okay, within our chapter, we're going to go reach out. We're going to find the non-majors. We're going to find the people who are musicianly men who we're not already finding. Or, you know, maybe you look and you say, wow, just like at Albion, it sure seems like the entire sax section is made up of science majors. Maybe we need to go talk to the science kids and figure out why none of them are Sinfonians and recruit there. Get out of the comfortable zone and go find where these people are. But to move it out to the province level, I've zoomed in on province 2 here because it's one of the provinces that I'm more familiar with. I want to get you to think about a couple of things. One is, if you're building a spreadsheet, this is one of the things spreadsheets are great for. Where do you see the people coming from? If you've got province events, province workshops, province gatherings of other sorts, do you take attendance? When you take attendance, do you track it over time? Do you know what your trends are? Because if you don't know that, what's the point of taking attendance? Which chapter sends just the required minimum number of delegates, and which chapter brings 3 carloads? Which chapter is the road warrior chapter that will always show up regardless of where the event is hosted, and which one's the one that seems to find a convenient excuse anytime that it's more than a half hour drive? Those are things that you can be logging and tracking and use that data to plan what your next steps are. Whether you are a CPR or an ACPR, or whether you're just a grumpy old alumnus who occasionally shows up. So, I highly encourage you, and this is what spreadsheets are good at. I know they can also do number things, but this is one of the things they're really, really good at, is just tracking who shows and who doesn't. So if we look at this map of Province 2, I know not all of you are familiar with Michigan and Northwest Ohio, but you can see we've got a road network here. It clearly centers on this area right here. In the old days, they used to put state capitals right in the middle of the state. East Lansing is where Gamma Epsilon is located. Lansing is the capital of Michigan. They did a good job with that. All roads lead there, basically. But if you're looking at how you structure the province for interaction, they aren't necessarily the best situated chapter in the province. So let me just ask the question. If you were to identify the chapter that you think has the easiest time getting to other chapters, getting to the most other chapters, which one of those would it be? And I know you can't see chapter names right now, but if you look, this is I-94 here, going right across the bottom of the state. Here's Epsilon chapter in Ann Arbor, and they have a relatively easy time going down toward Toledo, and they have a relatively easy time going west toward Albion, but everything else is a little bit of an awkward move to get somewhere. Up here, that's
Central Michigan.
Yeah, New Pi. Mm-hmm. New Pi chapter. It's 20-year-old memory there. New Pi chapter also doesn't have an easy time getting anywhere other than this one chapter right here at Iota Alpha. But look how well located Beta Iota is there. 45 minutes west to Delta Iota, 45 minutes south to New Upsilon, 45 minutes east to Epsilon, 45 minutes north to Gamma Epsilon. In the intro, Dave mentioned how we used to always be hitting the road and going on road trips. There was a reason. Our home chapter was perfectly located for it. Dave, how many brothers are at Beta Iota right now?
I believe they are up to 6 collegiate brothers.
If you were province leadership for this province and you were looking for a place to put your province archives, where would you put it?
Not Evansville.
If you were looking for a place to really nurture having a strong brotherhood so that you could have a central place that people could always go to and come from, where'd you put it? I mean, these folks up here are great. Personally, and this is not my Beta Iota bias, just geography alone tells me I'd put it right there in Albion. I would put a lot of my effort right there trying to build that chapter up and keep it as big and strong as possible. Now, I look down here. We've got a natural pairing here. These two can really help each other out. They can strengthen each other. Got a natural pairing here. These two can help each other out and strengthen each other. They're less than a half hour drive apart. But what about these poor folks out here at Grand Valley? Who's close to them?
Western, kinda.
Yeah. So if you're a province leader and you're looking just at the map, you're not looking at the numbers of how many brothers we have in a chapter. You're looking at the map and trying to say, where do we need to put our resources to strengthen a chapter? I'm probably not too worried about these two schools. As long as one of them is doing well, they can support the other one. Same down here. But I might be a little worried here. I'd be a lot worried here. And frankly, I'd want to make sure that hub school was doing well, because they're right in the nexus of everything. So I encourage you, when you're thinking organizationally, you look to where do we have our strength? Where are the largest numbers of brothers? And we know Delta Iota, always big. They've got money, they've got members, they've got a lot of spirit. Gamma Epsilon, always pretty big. Epsilon, generally pretty big. I don't know about where they are at the moment, but generally those big schools are pretty reliable that way in the province. So please, yeah, think about where our raw numbers are of members, but also think about in terms of the organization of the province, just like when you're looking at your music school versus your non-music majors for chapter development, when you're looking at the organization of the province, where else should we be? Where should we be strengthening? And by the way, if we look at our charter goals, Province 2 has killed it according to this map, because there's only two schools that you haven't gotten yet. And if anybody knows anything about Hope College, it ain't happening. So well done, those who've been in province leadership, Dave and Kyle, on making all that happen over the past decade or so. Okay, I am talking plenty right now. Let me stop for a moment. Is there any other insight or any questions or any thoughts that people have from what you're seeing here on the screen? And I'm going to look at the chat occasionally, but please feel free to shout out as well. I do want you to jump on top of me and just talk if you need to.
You're simply making sense. I'm not seeing much that needs to be added.
Brilliant. Okay. So yeah, again, if I were governor of Province 2, and I'm hoping that Mark is listening, I'd be looking here and say, okay, what's going on over at Oakland University? I'd want to know more about what Oakland is all about. Now, I know, because I spent time in Michigan, that Oakland is a little bit of a funky place to have a college camp, a chapter of Phi Mu Alpha, because it's not a strong residential college. Knowing that it's not a strong residential college and that it doesn't have any easy geographic connections to other chapters, I'd really want to put effort there. I probably wouldn't worry so much knowing that Iota Alpha shows up to everything coming down from Mount Pleasant and New Pi. Knowing that New Pi comes down from everything from Central Michigan and they're always part of everything and they've got 15 brothers at every workshop, probably not going to worry about them. And as long as they and the Alma boys are talking to each other, I'm not going to worry about Alma too much either. But Oakland, I'd probably make a point of visiting more than once every triennium. And frankly, for a CPR, I'd probably want to make sure that I visited there at least once a year and that I had really good connections with the brothers on campus so that I'd know what was going on there. And if they did need help, I'd get a caravan of people going from the other schools. Now, this could also mean, you know, caravan doesn't have to mean that we're actually just getting in the car and going places. So let's go to the other side of the country. The other province that I'm familiar with, down here in 35. Who's close to whom here in 35?
No.
There is no close.
So when we rechartered 35, there were no chapters here. We got an alumni association starting in Phoenix. 220 miles north in Flagstaff, I think it's 220 miles, the chapter started an interest group up at NAU, the Kappa Psi chapter. Some of the greatest members I've ever known, greatest brothers I've ever known, tons of spirit. They really got it from day one, but they were there by themselves. The nearest chapter to them was basically nowhere. They didn't have a big brother chapter because they were so far away. The nearest they had was in the LA area. And even then, that's too far. Within a year of that interest group coming about, we got the interest group down here at University of Texas, El Paso at the new Lambda chapter. These two chapters are separated by a 10-hour drive. And for a while, they were Province 35. We held our first province workshop in Tucson because that was the place everybody could meet up. There is no easy back and forth between these two schools. These folks are true road warriors. You know, I know some of those Southern California guys like to celebrate how they will go long distances and they'll pile in a car and drive 3 days straight to get to Evansville or whatever. But these guys, just a matter of keeping their province alive is a matter of being a road warrior. They do chapter visits. They do go see each other.
But frankly, most of the time when they gather, at least to my knowledge, as recently as when Gordon Zaft was governor, they would meet up in some neutral third party location just because it was easier to meet in the middle. So they would go camp for a weekend, and that would be a province gathering. As they go about trying to find other places to charter, they've pretty much got them all too. There are no other schools to get in this province. This is as good as it gets in 35. So what are the obstacles here?
Lots and lots of desert.
Yeah.
Wear and tear on your car.
There is that. Their CPR had better submit receipts, yes.
Well, it's not only the wear and the tear, it's with the climate in that particular area. It's, oh my God, hey Wes, it's horrible on cars to do that. Because if you get stuck in the middle because your engine overheats, you're in a bad spot. And in a bad and expensive spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joel Strudy went on a road trip with me I picked him up from Maryland and took him down to North Carolina for the province workshop just before COVID. And we were talking about some of the challenges because I have family in Tucson. So I've driven from like Tucson to Las Cruces and to Phoenix and been up to Flagstaff. So I'm kind of familiar with that area too. And yeah, he said it was definitely challenging.
Yeah, it's a blast to drive, but it's a lot of driving. So if we're trying to nurture, what do we do? I mean, these guys do have to, they're fortunate that they already chartered about 12, 13 years ago. The process started around then. So they did have the digital tools to be able to contact each other. But the amazing thing is, New Lambda existed before. Go away. Kappa Xi existed before. The chapter at Arizona State, the chapter at University of Arizona, they all existed before. They were all chartered way back in, I think the earliest was in the 50s, up through the 80s. And then all of them went defunct. And I think the mileage was what made them go defunct. Now, they've got tons of province spirit. They've got great attitude and they stay well connected digitally. And for a while, they had some really good leadership from people like Zaft. But frankly, geography is not a friend to them. And it does greatly amuse me, by the way, when some of you people from the East Coast complain about great distances when you're talking about going an hour and a half. And I think about the early days when Travis and Dave and a couple others would get in a car and they would drive 10 hours to go barbecue with the guys in El Paso. So when we're thinking organizationally, what do we have to do to grow Province 35? Well, support them, show them some love, maybe throw them some gas money every now and again, but there really isn't a lot that these guys can get. The one other that I really wanted to point out that the map makes very apparent as I start going this way. Look at these poor folks up here in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Province 16. They are the chapter in Province 16. If they want to have a brotherly connection in person, what do they have to do? The nearest chapter to them is almost 5 hours away. And there is no other chapter within a 5-hour drive of them. So what do we need to do for those guys? Well, I'd argue either become okay with them going defunct or maybe reach out to some of these possible sites at South Dakota State or Minnesota State, or what's the other one there? Go away so I can click the other one. Oh, is it 2 marks for Minnesota State? No, sorry. It must be 2 marks for Minnesota State. Or up here in Grand Forks, we've got an opportunity at University of North Dakota. But if we want this chapter to stay alive, and we should, by the way, all be thinking of them as heroes for doing as long, for being a chapter, it would really help them if they had some brothers who were less than 5 hours away. Conversely, those of us who are trying to figure out how to keep chapters and provinces alive during COVID might do well to reach out to them and find out what they are doing. What is keeping them successful so that at such vast distances, they're able to maintain a chapter and a province. So, what's our big takeaway here? I think my big takeaway is that, you know, tools are great. I love tools. It's nice having a tool that shows us this kind of thing. It's nice having maps that we can look at, especially if it's put together by somebody who does a great job of putting together all kinds of stuff. Oh, by the way, there's also an alumni association overlay on this, so we can see where those are. They do track pretty well to where we have good chapter density. But again, if you are, for instance, in, say, Alabama. We've got Georgia people on here. I know how much you all love Alabama. If we're in Alabama and we've got one chapter here and we're trying to keep it alive, they've got an alumni association right around the corner. That is a huge resource to them. Maybe in some of these places where we've got more remoteness happening, we should be getting alumni associations happening. As I said before, in the early days of Province 35, there was the beginnings, an alumni association interest group happening in Phoenix, and that's how we were able to nurture those folks up at Kappa Xi. So my grand conclusion here, I don't necessarily have one, except I want you all to be thinking organizationally. Think not so much about, you know, what is the challenge of going and visiting brothers, and think more about the opportunity of going and visiting brothers. And what is the organization about? Sinfonia for me became a totally different organization the first time I went to a province event. When I realized that there was brotherhood outside of my chapter, it totally changed the picture for me. When I then went back to my home chapter and recruited a few other brothers to go with me, broadened the experience. And then I started going to visit my brothers at other chapters without needing a province event. Now, granted, I was 45 minutes away from Gamma Epsilon and I could just get in the car and go hang out on Jamal Duncan's floor if I wanted. I know that's not an opportunity that's available to everybody, but I think it's essential, especially when we're looking at some of these questions that we've been asking tonight and over the past couple of days about what Finding Off is about, what the future of the organization is. I think it's essential that we broaden ourselves beyond the music department, beyond the concert band, beyond the home chapter. We think province-wide, we think beyond the province boundary lines. You know, when we're looking up here, again, at 16, those guys at Northern State do not exist as a chapter if they don't ever get on the road to one of their neighbor provinces. They have no Sinfonian experience if they don't get on the road. Let me check the chat one more time here. Oh, Colin, I'm glad you're digging into Cade's maps too. Cade, again, I can't call out enough times how great a resource Cade Herrig is. In a just world, Cade would be our national, I don't even know if historian is a good enough word, our national data monster or something. Cade digs into the numbers, and when I let Cade know that I was planning on using this map for this presentation, I was told, hold on, I'm going to update it. So this map was updated yesterday for this presentation. National Fraternity Mentat, nice. Yeah, if you want to see Cade's top level nerdery, the FIMU Alpha R&D group on Facebook is where it really gets into deep, deep nerding out. But at this point, I'm hoping just to change a little bit of mentality, get y'all thinking about where we are weak, where we're strong, and what we can do to leverage that strength into building that weakness. I don't need to talk anymore. What thoughts or questions are coming from this group?
I had a couple thoughts on this. Taking a look at that map really changes my mindset of, you know, we have a lot of collegiate brothers whose only Sinfonia experience is at the chapter level. And I realize that some of them are doing that out of choice. And now I'm realizing that some are doing that potentially out of necessity. Because as you pointed out, there are chapters where the closest next chapter is a 5-hour drive. I mean, how frequently are they going to be able to prioritize a 10-hour round trip just to, what, grill some burgers and dogs and have a jam session? I mean, it completely changes my perspective on the chapter versus the province versus the national interaction. So thank you. The visual aid really, really helped.
Yeah, I think, and we were having a conversation earlier where people were talking about how province lines are drawn, and it seems like we really get into the fine points of that, and you know, everybody has to memorize all the chapters of their province for the national exam, but why don't we ever hand our new members a map and say, here's where all the chapters are. Go find some. You know, if you do school in Florida in the school year, but then you fly home to Texas for the summers, there are probably chapters that are near you, and you should know where they are without having to go search them out. So this ended up being a lot more in the write-up. I was talking about leadership development, and I kind of glossed over that, but the same basic principles apply. If you know that you need somebody who has a skill set, you should go find somebody who has that skill set. If you know that you need somebody who has a skill set and you can't find anybody who does, you should build them. Chapters, provinces, and the national organization all need to have programs and structures in place to build brothers. We've done it before. We've had a leadership institute. We've had CPR convo that were intended to build these things. And some of the provinces have been more successful at this in the past than others. And some of the chapters have been more successful than others. It's not just the FBO's job, though. This has to be something that is done systemically and intentionally. If you need somebody who can play piano, that is not something that's just going to fall in your lap one day. Probably.
To be fair, Brother Courtright, that's essentially how I got recruited during my probationary process. I was sort of handed the task of taking over as music director specifically because of my piano playing ability. Now, that said, please let me know if this scenario ever sounds familiar at all. You have a chapter that is primarily comprised of guys that you got from the marching band. You got your trumpets, your trombones, your tubas, and I don't know any other brass instruments. I'm a string player. So you're finding that when you go to perform at, say, a Mills Music Mission, the guys are not singing particularly confidently because there's no, you know, noise hole in front of their mouths to scream into. That chapter then goes and recruits one person, or maybe a couple people, from the concert choir, the music ed vocal program, whatever it is. Where does that person immediately find themselves elected to for the next academic year?
I think there was a fundamental mistake made in the first place there.
Absolutely. That the chapter didn't already have non-brass players?
Well, yes, that's a problem too. But I think it's a fundamental mistake to think you're going to solve the problem by recruiting that one person. For one thing, if you're going to recruit a vocalist, recruit 10 vocalists. But before that, why were you trying to do a Mills Music Mission where the brass players were singing?
Because that's the way we've always done it.
A Mills Music Mission is about music. And if you're brass players, you should have a brass ensemble.
We actually covered that really well last night with Brother Rankin's talk. It was pretty great. I'm just stating something that I've seen over and over, and it has happened twice recently within Province 2 that we had instrumentalist-dominated chapters that recruited that one vocal guy that wound up typecast into the role of music director and tasked with the make us sound prettier. And to a certain extent, it has worked, but Brother Courtright, you make a very important point. It shouldn't fall down to one person.
And I think it's also important to understand your strengths. Why are you recruiting so well from the brass section of the marching band? Let's build that. Let's understand the strength that we have there, but then also identify why do we have a weakness elsewhere? And instead of recruiting the one token person, let's make a conscious effort to broaden our horizons. And while we're at it, if we're just getting the brass section of the marching band, why aren't we going for the strings? Why aren't we going to the guitar ensemble on campus and seeing if there are any good brothers there?
There are strings in the marching band? I am interested in this marching band.
Oh, you've not seen the, was it the Philadelphia String Band? There's a some goofy thing they do in Philadelphia that has strings. When they march.
Numbers parade.
That's it. Thank you, Keith.
Well, you're also forgetting the piano player, because you have to have a keyboardist for ritual. Okay, you're not going to have somebody pre-record the ritual music. It's just not supposed to happen.
Absolutely correct.
So you go and you get the piano teacher and make them a faculty symphonian so that they can do your rituals for you for forever. It's like, no, dude, they got a life to recruit out of his department.
I mean, there's a part of me that says maybe we've got a guitar player who can do like they did at the Silent Night premiere and play guitar all the way through. Or maybe we've got somebody, if you've got that brass section only, maybe there's somebody who knows how to arrange those parts to be good for a brass ensemble to play, and we could have a small brass ensemble. I know this is heresy, and somebody's going to come and burn all of my symphonian things for saying that we would not have a keyboard player at the ritual. But I think if we're looking organizationally, if we're thinking about how to grow an organization, instead of looking for that one person who can plunk the keys, build from your strengths and develop your weaknesses.
Right.
It's I think just, I've seen rituals where they've used a brass ensemble rather than keyboards anyway. So yeah. I get that. I mean, one of the challenges that smaller universities have, like Shenandoah, which is my home chapter, your orchestra and your keyboard players tend to be heavily women, for one thing, and B, tend to be heavily foreign exchange students. So that's always been... That's why the chapter at Shenandoah has usually been the choir or the wind ensemble members. We don't get members from the string or even piano members. And I know that happens at some of the larger schools that have, you know, those really prestigious music programs. And I know one of our brothers that went to Johns Hopkins, that's why I said Phi Mu Alpha will never go back to Johns Hopkins, because they're all foreign exchange students. So it's a challenge depending on the university.
Yeah. And I appreciate you. You did that same thing that I encourage people to do with a spreadsheet, where you already did the analysis and you said, here is what the population of this particular ensemble is and why we struggle to recruit there. Doesn't mean you're never going to find a brother there, but it's going to be more difficult. And we do see this at the larger schools too. I know a person who, when I met him in Alaska, I found out that he and I knew mutual friends from when he was attending Michigan State and I was attending Albion, and we must have crossed paths numerous times, but we never met. And I asked him straight up why he wasn't a symphonian. He said, I was just in a marching band. Like, guys, you got to do better. You can't just recruit from within the music school, because he would have been an incredible brother, and he absolutely should have been. The fraternity would have been better to have him. So small schools have these problems. Big schools have different problems. But I think we all need to be looking for how to identify the places where we need to grow. Any other punchy thoughts or questions or terrible puns?
We're still being recorded, so.
Good call.
Just a friendly reminder.
I saw a finger up from Wes there. Was there a thought?
Oh, no, I've just got puns. Lots of puns. But I like for them to come naturally, so I'll wait.
All right. Colin, what's going on?
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
All right, let me get rid of it. All right, so at least my home chapter at Edinburgh University, at least this, as far as I know, my chapter or former chapter, unfortunately, is in one of the predicament of they do not offer a music accreditation at all. So as CPR, one of the challenges that I've recognized is that unfortunately, Lambda Gamma in Province 39 will always have to be, I guess, for a lack of a better phrase, on life support when it comes to getting a lot of people involved to make sure a proper initiation ritual, mm-hmm. Or multitude of other things that require people that are consistently involved with music. The university still offers a marching band, a wind ensemble, and a choir. So there's, you know, no shortage of finding, you know, musicianly men at that institution. But unfortunately, I know for the past 5 years, we've always been relying on an alumnus to come and perform as an accompanist for the ritual. So I know at least for that chapter, that's one issue that we're trying to figure out the best way to. So.
Yeah, and you are in that unfortunate situation of being one of our slightly isolated chapters too. Now,
correct, because Fredonia, which back in the 70s was the Big Brother chapter, is now no longer active in 17, and Youngstown is unfortunately on suspension for I don't know why. So the next closest one is IUP, which is all the way down near Pittsburgh. So.
Oh, yeah, we've got, yeah, your chapter apparently is in reorg status.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And yeah, Youngstown, as you say, is suspended. So yeah, where do we go? Well, there are multiple good schools to recruit at in Cleveland. It was great to have a national convention with no hosting chapter, but Case Western Reserve, Cleveland State, and
Wallace
all have been reluctant to take on chapters. Yeah, there's not a lot going on upstate New York wise. So yeah, that is a huge challenge. What do you do to support a chapter like that? And I love that we're asking the question because I don't have an answer. You are very isolated. And it's weird because you're isolated in a place where we don't have massive geographic isolation like we have out west. There are eligible places nearby that could host chapters. So is this a thing where two or three chapters, provinces need to come together and start aggressively recolonizing? Maybe you need to lean on those Province 3 guys and tell them to get something going over here at Case Western. Yeah, I wish I had an answer for you on that one.
No, I wasn't looking for an answer.
No, I know you weren't, but man, I wish I had one. I'd feel like the greatest man in the world if I could tell you how to solve that problem.
Yeah, I mean, our province governor, Nathan Boone, and I have been discussing quite frequently about this issue, so I just figured, you know, I, you know, put it out there to the peanut gallery and see what anyone has to say.
You should also be really careful with aggressive stance on getting a school to have a chapter or a group of students to become a chapter, because there's that fine line of you get the really, yeah, we want to do this, but that fire burns too fast. And 2 years down the road after they get chartered or rechartered, they're in reorg or they did something stupid and got suspended or expelled, and you have to go through the process all over again. And I'm personally against aggressive tactics like that because it leads to problems. You have to take it, you have to find that right line of approach, because if you're not aggressive enough, it's like, yeah, whatever. But if you go that one step too far, it's like, yeah. And then it just kind of, yeah.
No, the correction is very welcome, Brother Angel. Yeah. When I said aggressive, I was meaning more in terms of, I've definitely been in the province that said, hey, yeah, we could colonize that school. And that was as far as it got. By aggressive, I was meaning more like actually showing up and trying to meet some people and connecting and networking and figuring out what you can do, meeting a couple professors maybe. But yeah, you don't want to go in heavy handed and end up in a situation where everything falls apart within 2 years.
No, I had a feeling that's what you meant. I was just wanting to make sure that others understood you can't just go in and go this. You go in and you say, hey, look at this. Ain't it great? Let's try it.
Absolutely. And by the way, mentioning Province 3, I heard this earlier tonight. Province 3 has some very unusual geography here, doesn't it? We've got this really strong I-70 corridor, and then a nice little pocket down in the area near Cincinnati, between Cincinnati and Dayton. And then nothing happening in all of Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
And we can do this for all of our provinces, I imagine, but there's some really interesting things you can learn by just poking around the map. And I think it brings up, for me, the fascinating thing is that it brings up questions. Why don't we have this? What has gone wrong there before? Who knows?
It's interesting to take a look at what boundaries are established by state lines and which ones are not. To sort of paint a picture of, I wonder if that maybe used to be a boundary and then something changed when provinces were restructured.
I remember at the time of the Cleveland Convention, leading up to it, there was talk about whether Cleveland belonged in Province 2 or Province 3. And there was some nice arguing over that before the line apparently was dropped through, what's that, like, that's nowhere near Vermilion.
Why does it do that jagged?
Well, yeah, I'll say province outline maps have always been something that have been very fluid. It's always something that's based on just, you find a chapter and then the NEC looks at where the chapter is geographically and says, well, which province would be able to best serve that chapter? And that's how province lines get drawn. It actually amazes me to see this map because I'm like, most of the lines on this map, someone picked, not because they exist in any national official map, but because you can draw lines wherever you like around these provinces. But that's how province lines exist. It's always, all right, here's a new chapter. Which province are we going to put them in? And then that further refines where the province boundaries are.
I think that's a fair point. I should probably put the asterisk in that Cade did give me the warning that the lines were drawn to the best of Cade's ability, but not necessarily where they officially lie, because we don't necessarily know where they officially lie.
And they don't officially, from my time working, it's been 20 years. But I don't think from my conversations that much has changed since then. You know, there was a time where it was, they would take the map with the push pins in it and start putting rubber bands around push pins. Like, okay, all of these push pins are in this province and all these push pins are in this province. And then they'd start stretching rubber bands to see which ones seem to fit better. That's how it worked. And I'm pretty sure that's how it works to this day.
Wouldn't surprise me. Keith, I see your hand raised. We've also got a question in the chat from Jonathan. I don't know which of you we need to go to first. Keith, can it wait till after Jonathan here?
Yeah, go Jonathan first.
Okay, yeah, hold on to that though. I'd hate if this is like when I tell my son to wait and he forgets 5 minutes later. So Jonathan's asking, a little off topic, but currently my chapter and the other chapters in Province 7, like Beta Delta, have not done a lot of stuff other than just initiating new brothers, and this hasn't allowed for a lot of collegiate enjoyment. So any suggestions on how to handle this? So what could they do to have better enjoyment of their time as collegiates beyond just preparing, you know, recruiting, preparing, and initiating?
Go visit another chapter. I mean, really, a road trip is always a good way to build brotherhood. Which province are you? COVID. Yeah, COVID notwithstanding.
Yeah, are you in person right now, Jonathan? Is your campus in person?
Yeah, my campus is currently all in person. I'm not sure about the other chapters in my province and other chapters near us.
I will say that it's always been my experience that that type of interaction that you're looking for is always led by a small group of dedicated collegians. So you get a CPR who decides that he wants to make it his goal to bring chapters together and then leads by example. You get guys from one chapter who are like, you know what? We're tired of being out here by ourselves. We'll make the effort to go out. And then that starts kind of a domino effect. You start seeing guys from this one chapter always showing up to other chapters' events. And then so other chapters get the message and feel obliged to join. Now, I will say not having a province governor or an officially elected CPR means that at this moment in time, for Province 7, it is, you've got to be the agent of change that you want to see happen, which is how so many things are in our fraternity at the moment. But yeah, really, you just stand up and say, we want people to come to us, so we'll start off by going to them. And you make that the expectation.
And if you show up with grillable meats, they almost never say no. Great question. Any other thoughts on that one?
I guess a question that I would have.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
No, Keith, go ahead.
I think most things are hard to, our traditional things, especially for us older people, are the COVID is the big thing that derails almost everything. You know, the suggestions would be, you know, Mills Music Mission, you know, chapter retreat at your local park, just do a cookout, you know, do a river cleanup is what we've done with the chapter. I don't know if there's any rivers nearby, even a park cleanup, you know, roadway cleanup. There's all sorts of, I'm an environmental scientist, so, you know, but even going on a hike, I think Frankie's chapter, they did a hike, and they've gone out to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to a banquet. Of course, that's with COVID now, that's, you know, your eating establishment. But there's, you know, I see now you're in Kansas. I mean, I would assume that there's some parks and things to, like, you know, do. Well, not that I should be advocating smoking, but, you know, if you're into that sort of pipes and bonfires, you know, that's always been a good brotherhood building. Don't have to smoke a pipe, just do the bonfire. So you can socially distance, you can, you know, roast meat and do what anything else like that, hot chocolate, whatever you want. So any of that type of stuff.
You don't even have to go, you know, high bar either. There can also be, you know, video game tournaments or Back in the old days, it was all Family Guy. I don't know if we're finally past that, but man, the Family Guy marathons.
Jonathan, can I ask you a question? I'm looking at the map. Man, I love this map. And it seems like you're kind of out there several hours away from the nearest chapter within your own province. Do you find in Province 7 that the chapters near Kansas City, so Xi, Tau, and Caparo, do they tend to get together and just y'all don't see that interaction because you're a little farther away, or are they not even doing much themselves?
From what I can tell in like the president's group chat or the province council chats right now, there's not much interaction between the two, between anyone up there.
How about the chapter Yoder Row over at Missouri State? It's not close necessarily, but...
I do not... I know... Our chapter went up to the one at Northwest Missouri State last spring for their ritual. And they said that they haven't done too much, but they're trying to start getting Province 19 to start doing stuff with each other.
Wow. If you're willing to go that far, you got some travelers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend up at that chapter, so I went to go visit him and brought a couple guys with me.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, if you're willing to go that far, then Springfield and Tulsa are all, you know, within your distance. You've got some options there. Heck, you guys can go to Joplin and have a weekend.
Yeah, and don't think the province boundaries kind of limit where you can travel. Being where you're located, it's closer for you to go to at least two or three other chapters that are in completely different provinces from yours. And that's fine to create those bonds and those relationships as well, where you can travel back and forth. It's not going to be as meaningful come province workshop time, but that's just one day, one weekend a year. So, you know, take advantage of going wherever people are comfortable traveling. Create those bonds through the visits with whoever you can get to. Even if that means it's not within your own province, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. We see a lot of that in Georgia, where we have Valdosta is in southern Georgia, but it's part of technically the North Florida province, 36. So those guys come up to Columbus because apparently they don't like the guys in Tallahassee. And so Columbus is their next best bet. And so we used to see a lot of guys from the Valdosta chapter show up to events in Province 33, especially if they were being held in Columbus. They just took advantage of going where they could get to and where things were happening.
I would encourage you as well, Jonathan, don't overlook, you know, why are you guys together in the first place? What do you like about each other? If you're looking to the collegiate experience, most of my favorite memories from when I was a collegiate member have nothing to do with anything that was done officially. It was just me and a couple of my brothers doing something. Occasionally deciding to do something really stupidly audacious, like deciding that we were going to declare an entire month Phi Mu Alpha month and book a music festival during it. But that was after a few years. We started out just doing little things, hanging out, occasionally getting in the car, pulling really dumb pranks on each other. And that's the kind of stuff that builds the relationship in my mind more than worrying about planning a Mills music mission that's perfect. You should do that too, but the collegiate experience is about bonding, Brother Angel.
I was actually just having this talk with a brother earlier today who was questioning whether or not the national convention experience is going to be worth it for the money that Collegiate Brothers are putting out there, because he had taken a look at the official itinerary and saw what the events were. And I pointed out to him, yes, that's the official itinerary, because they can't officially tell you sit down and have three drinks and a really deep, meaningful conversation with another brother that you wouldn't normally have. That can't be on the official itinerary. That's something that you have to do on your own as in as an extra part of national convention. I wanted to contribute something that Stephen kind of already got to, but trying to take on his mindset from all of this is, if you're questioning how to improve the collegiate experience, let's play to the chapter strengths. What do your individual brothers enjoy doing? And then more importantly, what do they enjoy doing in a group setting? Is it playing video games? Is it a scavenger hunt? Is it playing board games? Is it playing Jackbox? Because, you know, we can be socially distant and playing Jackbox together. Whatever it is you enjoy doing, do it with brothers. And now your brother's doing that thing. And it sounds a little oversimplified, but it really is that simple. Do what you enjoy doing. Just do it with brothers.
And it's okay if it's intramural soccer. Just make sure that Kyle is on your team because he's going to break somebody's knee.
Good Lord, Dr. Ains. Oh my gosh. They ran into each other like they weren't even aware that they were both there.
Yeah, it was bad. Jonathan, I don't know if we're not going to solve all the problems of the world tonight, but I'm going to just put it out there and speak for the fellow seasoned vets in the room. There are five of us in here who've been Symphonians for 20-ish or more years. I'm throwing the ish in there for Keith. but feel free, just hit any of us up. If you need anything from us, we might not have the answers, but we are happy to talk to younger brothers and at least hear you out when you're frustrated and need to punch the wall.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. This has been a big help.
Oh, God, yes. Please reach out. Don't sit and stew and go, I don't know what to ask. We don't bite. Shut up, Stephen.
Okay. Hey, Keith, you had your hand up a while ago. Do you still have a question or a comment you wanted to shoot out?
Well, this is that taking us down several paths. The one thing that occurs to me, and I think I mentioned this to Cade in the past, is like, we need to find a brother that has GIS, which is Geographic Information System skills, because there is software that can, pretty easily calculate distances between all these points if all the chapters are uploaded into it and provide us with much better information for drawing, boundaries. And actually maybe get to that whole idea of, who's close to who, rather than just arbitrarily, But those skills for me are very, very old, and I don't have access to the software anymore. That was one thing I've thrown out there in the past. My other thought, and I know this is an issue that Brian Waddell has brought up quite a bit, is that if there was more support for alumni associations outside of metropolitan areas, would be a way to support some of these chapters, because like Northern Delaware, where I live, yes, there's University of Delaware Frankie's at, but like in my Symphonia, I show up as a new Psi brother. So Frankie, the only reason Frankie knows me is because A, I've made a point of being annoying or showing up at least occasionally, and and I'm on their listserv, but from my Symphonia they wouldn't find me in Northern Delaware. I know I'm not alone. I know there are brothers in the Northern Delaware region that are probably from Westchester, from New Jersey and whatnot. So yes, there's an alumni association in Baltimore. There's an alumni association in Philadelphia. I don't feel like dealing with parking or traffic in either of those cities. And it's an hour and a half for me either way. And I'm sure in outside of the I-95, megalopolis area with Philadelphia, DC, Baltimore, New York City, there are similar situations where there's pockets where there may not be a university that has a chapter, but there. Cleveland. I'm sure Cleveland has a whole bunch of alumni brothers from all over the country, but nobody has access to the resources because Nationals won't give them, or Ed won't give them for, you know, obfuscating reasons. But, you know, that would be another way to support some of these chapters that are kind of alone, because, you know, we all leave our home chapters and we end up, not everybody ends up near their home chapter. So, you know, the resources to find that and build pockets of alumni that are able to, you know, support collegiates, you know, with time, talent, and treasure. That is another way you can get about solving some of these gaps in these large distances. But that does take a strong national headquarters support.
Yeah, there have definitely been efforts in the past to do some of those things. I don't know how many of you remember Symphonia Circle that was supposed to be social media connecting and to help you understand who was near you, and that fell flat because Facebook exists. So yeah, we do fall prey sometimes to the shiny object syndrome, but yeah, I'm 100% with you there, Keith. Dave and I are both sympathizing over the fact that we're listed for chapters that are useless to where we currently live. And there's no way for the brothers near us to find us if they wanted to.
Aaron. Brother Angel, go ahead.
All righty. Keith, you raise a very interesting problem. Brian Bennett and I went a couple of years ago when province workshops were still happening to the Province 2030 workshop in one of the Carolinas. I forget, it's been a long time. And we talked
about North Carolina, but it was both Carolinas.
Yeah. You're right. But I've slept since then. And the thing is, right now, it's going to be almost impossible to get anything about an official alumni association started, because the powers that be, whether they should or not, don't want it. They don't want alumni associations because they don't see the sense of it or whatever. Okay, cool. Don't be official. Find the brothers in the area, go do dinner once a month. That's effectively what the Quad A is doing right now, because we're in limbo because we have no idea what national headquarters wants. We don't have a real province governor that we can officially go to, because Mark hasn't been doing the job that he fired Wes for not doing. He's not made a chapter visit. I've watched. I've asked. And when you fire a province governor for not doing his job, and that aside, find brothers in the area, go do food with them, go do a movie, just do social stuff. It doesn't have to be official. If you want to name it the Delaware Symphonia Fun Group or something like that, fine, go for it. Just, you don't have to have a charter to be a group of people that do things. Now, when you are able to get a charter and you feel like you want to do that and pay the taxes and whatnot, go for it. Be official when it's allowed and it's welcome. But for now, go eat. Note, we are all hungry people. We will always go eat. And yes, the resources right now suck. The My Symphonia search that is currently in place, whoever revamped it should not have been allowed to do the job that they did. That database is a wonderful tool once it's updated, but there's no way to access it right now that makes any sense. I am from Province 12. I live in 33. I've been in 33 for 25, 30 years now, and I can't search Province 33. I'm stuck to Province 12. I don't know who's in 12 anymore. I don't care. I don't live there. So I have to go to somebody else to find stuff. And then it's locked to the chapter. and trying to get information from NHQ right now is, well, problematic.
So let's redirect. We've found a weakness. How do we leverage some strengths to fix this weakness? We can't go and fix the database. It's not something we have the ability to do right now. But what do we have? I mean,
Facebook.
Facebook.
We ask. We ask, hey, who's in Delaware area, for example? I'm picking on you, Keith. I'm sorry. But say, hey, and do it on the official web page, on the official Facebook page, as well as the others. Because some people will be watching the Symphonian only. Others will be watching the others and definitively not the official one. So you have to put it on all of them. And yeah, so, it's a resource time.
Yeah. Colin pointed out, and he accidentally sent to me that if you type in the URL, the number for the province you want to find in the URL, you can find other province info that way.
Okay, cool.
But I think it still limits you in the in the alumni that you can see, but you can at least find info. Thank you, Colin. Yeah, I love the idea. By the way, this talk started almost an hour, a little more than an hour and a half ago. I was not expecting it to go more than about 45 minutes. And I love the places this has gone. We're doing the things that I want to see people thinking about. How do we build? How do we support each other? How do we strengthen the fraternity? Where do we leverage our weaknesses by using our strengths? Oh, Dave is doing it right now. So yeah, you can find the official info there. Can we see any info on alumni there, Dave? So yeah, as far as getting the alumni database, that used to be a thing that you could do where I'm going to date myself. Back when I was a province alumni coordinator, you'd email Dan Krieger and he'd send you a spreadsheet with all of the alumni who lived in the area. I don't know if that is a doable thing these days.
We have enough computer savvy people in this organization that if we could get our hands on a copy of the master database, somebody could find a way to code a searchable query off it that doesn't use WordPress. Because WordPress is of the devil. I do web support. WordPress is a feature-laden way to have your content sucked out from under you by everyone that doesn't need it but wants it.
That sounds like another talk that I give about your digital data rights.
You don't have any when you use WordPress.
Yeah, and how to protect them. And it starts with asking a lot of questions. Well, I mean, frankly, I would be happy to sit here and talk about how to solve problems all night. I think we're getting more into the broad organizational hypothetical solutions and less in the, like at the chapter or province level, what could we actually consider doing to solve a problem or identify a shortcoming that needs some help. So I want to thank all of you for being part of this. I had no idea what kind of audience we'd have. Dave, this has been a blast having these gatherings. I've been tuned in all three nights and I've really enjoyed the diversity of presentations. Some of them were super practical, like what I was trying to do here, where it was like, here, get your fingers in the muck and do some stuff. And others were incredibly high-minded. I learned about an opera about Tabasco. I mean, come on.
Well, let me go ahead and say thank you, Brother Courtright, for facilitating this presentation. It's been fantastic. You've altered my mindset about problem solving and really applying strengths where where a chapter could perceive weaknesses, and learning to flip things on to our own strengths. So thank you very much for presenting tonight. We truly appreciate having you here. Let's go ahead and cut the recording there.